And they came up with all these sayings and proverbs just as they observed nature. And so somewhere they must have, you know, observed the crocodile in the water, and then another place they observed the crocodile on the land, and they came to the conclusion that the strength of the crocodile is in the water.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of part 7 of More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part 7 of More Than Conquerors.
Flows through the branches, and as it flows through the branches, you see that fruit is produced. And Jesus says that unless you are in me, you can do nothing. And just think about the difference of a life that's in the hand of Jesus. I've said before, if you take a baseball and you put it in the hands of a professional baseball player, it's worth a lot of money. As a matter of fact, the Philadelphia Phillies this past week signed a player for $75 million. $75 million. Because he could do what? Play the ball. Right? You take that same ball that $75 million player uses and you put it in the hands of Pastor Glaze. How much is a baseball worth?
$100.
It's not worth very much. You take a song and you put it in the voice of Yolanda Adams, or you put it in the voice of another one of the great gospel singers, and it's worth a Grammy. It's worth millions of dollars. But if you take that same song and you put it in the voice of Pastor Glaze, people will get up and leave. It all depends whose hands or whose voice is in. You take a life and you put it in the hands of William Raymond Glaze, he'll make a mess out of it. But if you take a life and you put it in the hands of Jesus Christ, Solomon said he makes all things beautiful in his time. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. It all depends whose hands it's in. And Jesus said that if we will put our lives in his hands, that's where our strength comes from, that we can do nothing apart from Christ. And yet, on the other hand, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The unbeliever is outside of Christ. And outside of Christ, the unbeliever has no strength. Look at Romans chapter 5. In verse 6, Romans chapter 5, in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have zero spiritual strength. You have zero spiritual strength. And that's why when you look at people who say, well, I'm not such a bad person. I'm a good person. You know, how could a loving God let a good person go to hell? Well, let me tell you how a loving God can let a good person go to hell is because that good person, as good as they are, they can help little old ladies across the street. They can buy Girl Scout cookies. They can do all these things, but they have no spiritual strength. No spiritual strength. Those individuals who are relatives and they proclaim their goodness and they tell people how good they are and how they're a philanthropist and do all these great deeds and all these great things. And they might even shake and they might even impact their culture, their city, the world. But they have no spiritual strength. And why is that? Because they're not in Christ. You can be the greatest person in the world. But if you're not in Christ, you have no spiritual strength. And you know, I wonder why sometimes we as believers, we let the unsaved get us on their playing field. Right? That here in Christ, we have home field advantage in Christ. You got home field advantage. You got the crowd on your side, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know the turf, the Word of God in prayer. You got people that are gonna boo the other team, right? The choir, they're gonna boo the other team when they sing praises to God, right? When they praise God, they're booing the other team, right? Why in the world do you step out of home field advantage and step into the visiting team's locker room, in the visiting team's field? They have no strength. They have no power. And you have power. You know, I think about, and I'm sure if you think about your life before you got in Christ, that I was a pretty weak individual. You know, I remember every New Year's, I would make resolutions. One of the things that I did is I smoked cigarettes. And I remember every New Year's, I would say, I'm gonna stop. And I would stop, you know, sometimes for a day, sometimes, you know, for a week. But I was eventually back into them Newports, right? And and I asked, when I got saved, one of the things that the Lord did, he came in. And the Lord gave me the strength to be able to step outside of that environment and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and strengthen me and give me the victory in that area. See, before I was in Christ, I was without strength. But now that I'm in Christ, I have strength. And so that leads me to the next point, and that is that you can be a believer and you can be working outside of Christ, and now when you work outside of Christ, you lose your strength. Then in Christ, you have power and you have strength. Outside of Christ, you have no power and you have no strength. Look at 2 Kings, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. I got a couple stories in the Bible, but this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, "Behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too small for us." So here were some preachers in training, and they had a school, a seminary that they went to, and you know, God was pouring out his spirit, and many preachers were being called, and so they needed a bigger place. And verse 2 says, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take there every man a beam, and let us place there where we may dwell." And he said, "Go." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan, and they cut down wood. So here they were, chopping down trees to build a seminary. Verse 5, "But as one was felling a beam," or chopping a tree, "the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in there, and the iron did swim. Therefore, he said, take it up and put out his hand, and he took it. So what's happening here? That he's down there, and he's chopping trees down. And can you imagine, man, this guy's just going, he's going at it, he's chopping the trees, he's seeing the wood fly off everywhere, he's seeing bark fly off everywhere, and these trees are coming down, man. And they said, man, we're going to put an extension on this school. And here they are, working. And then all of a sudden, the axe head flies off the handle, and it goes into the water. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I think it's happened to some of us. You know, if we were in that situation, and maybe some of us have been in a similar situation where when we're swinging that axe and then we bring it back and the axe head flies off, then what do? We come back one more time because we don't know that we lost the power. But then we might chop it again. And then we realize that the power is gone. It's gone. And sometimes we as Christians, you know, we continue to try to chop trees down in the kingdom of God. We continue to try to do the work of God, and we've lost our power because we're not in Christ. There's a lot of preachers that stand in the pulpit and they're preaching the word of God, and God is nowhere around. There's a lot of Christians that's serving in the church, and God is nowhere around. There's a lot of people that are going to their jobs and trying to deal with all the knuckleheads that you got to deal with. And you're trying to do it in your own strength. You're trying to do it in your own power. You gotta get that axe head. Years ago, there was one of the major parades in California, and they had all these floats, right? I mean, beautiful floats that were in this parade, and some of the biggest companies in the world had floats that were in the parade. And then all of a sudden, one of the floats ran out of gas. And it backed up the whole parade. I mean, the whole parade came to a standstill. Now, you know, the shame of it all was the float that broke down was the Standard Oil float. Or just ran out of gas. Standard Oil that ran out of gas, right? Here, they are a company that provides energy and power, and they had no power. And when we think about our lives as believers, our lives as the children of God, we got all this power, and we run out of gas. Where are you at right now? Where are you operating in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you in Christ, and are you drawing on the strength of Christ, or are you operating in your own strength, in your own power, in your own wisdom? Sometimes people wonder, why am I having such a hard time? Why am I going through so many difficulties? And the reason is, you might be a Christian, and you, Revelation, all right, I wasn't going to say this. That's not even in my notes. I wasn't even going to say this. That you might be in Christ positionally, but you're not in Christ practically. You're not rooted and grounded in him. He says that if you abide in me, that you can do what I would have you to do, because you draw energy from me. You know, it's just like, you ever see one of those deflated balloons or Christmas decorations, big Santa Claus or big Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? If you ride by in the day, right, they are, all the air is all out and they're flat on the ground, right? And that's a lot of Christians. right? You like that inflated Santa Claus during the day, right? But when you connect to Christ and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and you let the life of Christ flow through you, it's just like getting a air pump and pumping up that Santa Claus and pumping up that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? And you pump it up and you see it begin to grow, and you see it begin to take life. You see it begin to be energized. That's the way it is when you're in Christ. When you are connected to Christ and his life is flowing through you, that you have a strength and an energy beyond yourself. When you look at a candle, especially the old-fashioned candles, that would have the oil in the lamp, and then it would have the wick in the oil, and that the light would come because the wick would draw from the oil and it would keep the light going. But whenever the oil ran out of the lamp, a lot of times the wick would continue to burn a little bit. If you can recollect what would happen, that the wick would begin to smoke and it would begin to stink. And whereas we should be in Christ and we should be drawing from the anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit, a lot of us, because we've gotten out of Christ, that wick has burned down, the oil has burned out, and we're burning on the wick. And we don't know it, but in God's nose, we start to stink. The Bible says that, we should be, our lives should be a sweet-smelling aroma. It should be a fragrance. Is your life a sweet-smelling aroma, a fragrance under God's nostrils, or is your life a burnt-out wick, a smoking wick? Would to God that our lives would not be smoking wicks because we are in Christ. The strength of the crocodile is in the river. The strength of the believer is in Jesus Christ. Like the strength of a crocodile is in the river, the strength of the believer is in Christ. It's in Christ for transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, let me say that again. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things have become new. That there is a spiritual transformation that takes place in your life when you're in Christ. That when you came and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you were in Christ. You were infused with the Holy Spirit, and you had the strength of Christ, the transformation. And we're ready for spiritual warfare, right? Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So when we are in Christ, our lives have been transformed, and we can do whatever it is that God wants us to do. You know, there's no excuse. There's no reason why we can't do what God has called us to do. What has God called you to do? What has God set before you? You've been transformed. If you are in Christ, you've been transformed. If you're fighting spiritual battles, you're in the Lord. And let's look at that real quick, and then I'm gonna finish up here. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the flesh. Oh, that's not what it said. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And let me drop down, and let's look at verse 13. Wherefore you take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That you ought to be able to stand in the time of attack. When your life is under attack, When your life, it may be under attack through illness, it may be under attack through finances, it may be under attack through relationships, it may be under attack through other things that will come in on it, you should be able to stand. If you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, you should be able to stand against these things. But when we get on the devil's playing field, we can't stand. I told you before, one of my favorite movies, and actually it was a series. I used to watch it every year, is Crocodile Dundee. For some reason, I love that series. But I remember, you know, the first one, you know, he was in Australia, and then he came to New York, right? And then the second one, he was in New York, right? And he had his girlfriend, and somebody was trying to kill his girlfriend. Remember that one? They were trying to kill his girlfriend. And, you know, there was all kind of, you know, people shooting through the window and people shooting their car and all kind of stuff. And you remember what Crocodile Dundee said? Remember what he said? I love it. He says, I can't protect you here in New York, but let's go back to my environment. And he got out there in the outback with all them kangaroos and all those mountains and all those animals. And man, it was just unbelievable to watch how that when they started coming after his girlfriend, how that he was able to just knock them out one by one. Because why? He was in his environment. He was in his environment. Well, I'm here to tell you today that the child of God, that whenever we're not in Christ, we're out of our environment. It's like being from Australia and being in New York. You remember he was walking around and he didn't know what in the world he saw. He didn't know what. He said, but let me go back to where I know I can protect you. And I just want to let you know today that when we are in Christ, that we have transformation and that we can fight the battles that come our way. There's something I was reading in my information. Because I began to think, you know, we start out in John chapter 15, where it said to abide in Christ. And as I was reading, I said, you know, this preacher right here, he kind of hit it on the head for me. And I said, well, let me just share this and what it means to abide in Christ. To put it simply, abiding in Jesus doesn't require advancing beyond the gospel to something else. See, what is he saying? He's saying this is Christianity 101, right? You know, we want to get into the graduate school and the master's degree and get our PhD in Christianity. He said, look, just start right here. That this is something that does not go beyond the gospel to be able to do or to understand. He said it doesn't demand a crisis decision or I like this right here, a mystical experience. You know, some of us are out there looking for, looking for the mystical, right? How can we get deeper? How can we understand the deep things? But, you know, nothing mystical about this. It just means keeping the words of Jesus in our hearts and minds so that they are renewing and reviving us, shaping and sanctifying us, filling and forming us. And it means keeping ourselves in his infinite, enduring, sin-bearing, heart-conquering, life-giving love. That's what it means to abide in him. And if we abide in Christ, the strength of the believer is in Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Part 8 of More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Part 7 of More Than Conquerors, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 7 of More Than Conquerors. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 7 of More Than Conquerors, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.